Hey there, sports history fan. Arnie Chapman here from the Sports History Network. Now, before you jump into this episode, I wanted to share with you an exciting giveaway we have going on with Home Field Apparel. We have a digital $50 gift card to homefieldapparel.com for one lucky fan of the Sports History Network. All you got to do is head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways to sign up. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways.
On this July 29th episode of the Football History Headlines, we discuss the judge's decision in the USFL versus NFL trial, how innovators shoulder the load of our football memories for today, and many more Hall of Fame legendary stories, and they're all coming up in just one moment. This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. This is your host, Darren Hayes, and we are podcasting from America's North Shore, bringing you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So in taking the snap from the sportshistorynetwork.com and handing off to pigskindispatch.com, let's go no huddle through today's football history headlines.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com, and welcome once again to the Pigpen, your portal to positive football history. We are sure glad to have you and join us once again for your great nuggets of knowledge of the gridiron. And we like to bring it to you one day at a time to fill that football brain of yours, and we're sure glad that you're here to join us. And I was sitting there thinking, you know, one thing about football that we sort of take for granted is the equipment. You know, you think about some of the equipment gets more exposure than the others. You know, the helmet, that's, you know, very obvious one. That's probably the first thing, piece of equipment we think about. But the probably maybe the second one you think about is the shoulder pads. Well, July 29th, 1941, Edwin M. Jim Lockbaugh patents the football shoulder pads, U.S. patent number 2251018. Mr. Lockbaugh was a former player and a coach at the Oklahoma Agriculture and Mechanical College, now known as Oklahoma State University at Stillwater. He was always thinking of player comfort and safety. In his shoulder pad patent, he claimed that the design was for the principal objects of my invention are to provide a device of this character, which is new, novel, useful, and evident utility, which consists of but few sturdy parts. It can be slipped over the head immediately, adjusted to the body, which cannot easily get out of order. Many of his design elements are still present in today's version of the shoulder pad. So we can thank Edwin Lockbaugh, or Jim, as he was known by his friends. July 29th, 1986, the United States Football League won their antitrust lawsuit against the National Football League after 42 days in court. The jury declared that the NFL was duly adjudicated illegal monopoly. However, it was a shallow victory, as the USFL was awarded a settlement of $1. Allegedly, Wellington Mara, of the NFL's New York Giants owner, was sitting in the courtroom near the USFL's New Jersey Generals owner, Donald Trump. And Mara proceeded to pull a crisp dollar bill from his wallet and handed it to Trump in a symbolic victory lap. Trump, who spearheaded the lawsuit in an attempt to force the NFL to merge with the USFL and cash in on his investment and desires to be an NFL owner. The Raiders' Al Davis was the lone NFL owner who was not a co-defendant in the lawsuit, as the former AFL commissioner broke ranks and testified on behalf of the USFL. The NFL was required to pay the USFL more than $5.5 million in attorney's fees and $6,200 in court costs. A Yahoo.com article states that the 4 days after the verdict came down, the USFL's owners voted to suspend operations with the goal of returning in 1987. However, many of the USFL teams were in no shape financially to operate. The USFL appealed the decision, but it was rejected by the United States Court of Appeals in the Second Circuit. That decision effectively shut the USFL down for good. Or did it? Because we have learned that the USFL is going to be resurrected some 35, 36 years later. The NFL also appealed a decision to the U.S. Supreme Court, but the verdict stood. The check received by the USFL in 1990 was in the amount of $3.76, triple the amount of the verdict with 76 cents of interest. It was about $1.5 billion less than the USFL sought in the lawsuit. Rumor has it that the check was never cashed. And I'm sure at a memorabilia auction someday, that small banknote will be worth a fortune. Probably is right now. July 29th, 1991, the Buffalo Bills defeated the Philadelphia Eagles 17-13 in the ninth edition of the American Bowl at London's Wembley Stadium, according to Yahoo.com, and it was an exhibition game that year. In July 29th, 1995, the Carolina Panthers and the Jacksonville Jaguars each played in their first live action as an NFL franchise. Carolina defeated the Jaguars 20-14 in the Pro Football Hall of Fame game at Tom Benson Hall of Fame Stadium in Canton, Ohio, in a battle of brand new expansion teams that year. Yeah, that's right. 1995, the Panthers and the Jaguars, they were the two teams that entered into the league and became NFL teams. They squared off at the Hall of Fame game. Wow, that's something to remember there. Well, something else to remember is that there is a big discount on our sponsor today, Row One Brand Sports, and I think you're really going to enjoy it. So let's hear this message from them right now. At the Sports History Network, we're all about sports yesteryear, and so we're so pleased to introduce you to Row One, an online memorabilia gallery and shop that brings you sports history to life anywhere. The Row One Gallery includes over 5,200 gorgeously reproduced prints of team posters, game program covers, game tickets, advertisements, and more in baseball, pro and college football, pro and college basketball, and more. And any gallery item may be printed in a variety of sizes on wood, metal, canvas, acrylic, or poster paper. And in Row One Shop, check out the thousands more of you unique items with a retro and historical designs dating back to 1876, including t-shirts, long sleeve shirts, phone cases, mugs, blankets, pillows, towels, and even shower curtains. Go to sportshistorynetwork.com, ROW number one, for access to the full Row One catalog and for gallery prints and gift items. Plus get a 15% discount off all prints on the Row One Pictorum Gallery with coupon code SHN15. Follow the link on the show notes. You got to take advantage of that one, folks. That is an excellent deal. Great products from Row One Brand. SportsHistoryNetwork.com/ROW1 and put in that SHN15 code. 15%, that's a big number for some great wall art of your favorite sports, your favorite team. It's great ticket stubs, program covers. They're all superior. I'm a customer there, and I'm telling you, I am not unhappy with anything that I've purchased there. I'm extremely thrilled with it, and I think you will be too. So check out that Row One Brand at that link that we gave you. Now let's go to our Hall of Fame birthdays for this July 29th. 1897, New York City, New York. Tim Mara, Pro Football Hall of Fame, who was the owner and founder of the New York Football Giants. Mr. Mara purchased the G-Men franchise on a whim in 1925 for the sum of $500. Tim Mara would often say that he founded the Giants on brute strength and ignorance. He attributed the strength of his players and the ignorance of the game that was his, as he didn't know much about the game because he had never seen a football game when the NFL president then, Joe Carr, talked him into buying the franchise. Carr felt sure that football would succeed if it had a New York City outlet. Mara later told reporters that he was willing to risk the $500, and that's what he did. Not a bad investment, as the Giants were reported to be worth $3.9 billion with a B in 2019, according to at least one source. It did not start out well, as Mr. Mara suffered some great financial setbacks that first year. That is, until the Bears came into town with a rookie named Red Grange to play the Giants. That one game brought people in through the stadium gates, and the Giants gained traction in attendance and in the financial books in 30 seasons at the helm. Mara watched his Giants teams claim three NFL titles and won their division eight times, according to the ProFootballHOF.com website. The club's founder turned over the control of his team to his two sons, Wellington and John, during the 1940s. July 29, 1902, Far Rockaway, New York. Herbert Sturhan, the guard from Yale who played from the 1924 through the 1926 seasons for the Eli, was born. The National Football Foundation states on the gridiron, Cobbles, as he was known, was a strong player with great quickness. As a sophomore in 1924, Sturhan became a starter and played an important role in Yale's defensive success, which limited Yale opponents to 52 points in posting a 6-0-2 mark, including a 14-14 stalemate with Dartmouth and a 7-7 knotted game with Army. In his junior year, Sturhan claimed the national recognition when Walter Camp named him to his All-America squad, After Yale finished 5-2-1, Sturhan lettered in each of his three varsity seasons and repeated his All-American honors in his final year. His fine play garnered him a selection in the 1981 class of the College Football Hall of Fame. That's quite an honor there. July 29, 1950, Columbus, Ohio. Howard Hopalong Cassidy, a halfback from Ohio State University. Per the footballfoundation.org, Hopalong rushed for 958 yards and 15 touchdowns in 1955 and was also an All-American. In addition to the Heisman Trophy, he claimed the 1955 Maxwell Award and was named the Associated Press Athlete of the Year. All super great honors. He played offense and defense and in 1955 had four 60-minute games. Never left the field. He earned All-America honors in 1954 as well. He entered into the College Football Hall of Fame in 1979 and scored 37 touchdowns in just 36 games. He helped lead the Buckeyes to a perfect record in 1954 and was a consensus national championship. Mr. Cassidy was a two-time consensus All-American in the 54 and 55 seasons, and he played in the NFL later for eight seasons with the Detroit Lions and was a member of the 1957 NFL Championship team. Wow, he had a great career. Championships in college with Ohio State, 1957 NFL Championship with the Lions. Super job. July 29th, 1950, Tommy Casanova, the cornerback from LSU, was enshrined in the College Football Hall of Fame in 1995. As a Tiger, he was a three-time first-team All-American in a Sports Illustrated edition published on September 13th, 1971, touted Tommy Casanova of LSU, best player in the nation. He went on to earn three trips to the Pro Bowl as a member of the NFL's Cincinnati Bengals, where he played for six seasons. And after football, he served as a Louisiana State Senator from 1996 all the way to the year 2000. Some great Hall of Famers that we celebrate their birthdays today. We salute to them. Now, we have some other birthdays of some very significant players who are not yet in the Hall of Fame. And they are, the first one is July 29th, 1993, Sulphur, Louisiana, quarterback Dak Prescott, who is a former signal caller at the Mississippi State team from 2012 through the 2015 season, was born. And Dak was taken by the Dallas Cowboys in the 2016 NFL Draft. And he was a 2016 NFL Rookie of the Year, according to Yahoo.com. Prescott was named to his first Pro Bowl in that season in the league, and when he set a record for most consecutive pass attempts without an interception at 176, for the most games with a passer rating of 100 or greater, posting 11 that year, and wins by a rookie 13. You know, special thanks today. Larry Schmidt helped us out with that Tim Mara information last year. Larry has a lot of information that he posts on gridironuniforms.com. You can also find him on bigblueinteractive.com with that great Giants website. And we appreciate all the information that he and all the other things, yahoo.com, nfl.com, footballfoundation.org, and theprofootballhof.com. We thank all those folks for the great information that they've saved to help preserve football history. Now, if you want to find out more stats for people born on July 29th, go to another great place, theprofootballreference.com. Click on that July 29th and you will see all the pro players born on July 29th, and I think you'll really enjoy that one too. Also, we have a special newspapers.com. You get a free 7 days. Go to sportshistorynetwork.com/newspapers. It earns free 7 days trial period. If you like it and you subscribe, the proceeds will go to this podcast and others on the Sports History Network, and we really appreciate your patronage, and I think you'll really enjoy newspapers.com, so don't miss out on that opportunity. Also, Row One Brand, get that great discount. SHN15 is the code to put in there in the Pictorum Gallery. Don't miss out on that one. Hang some great wall art in that favorite place of yours that you like to think about sports, or give it as a great gift. So we thank you for joining us once again. Find us on sportshistorynetwork.com. Find us also on pigskindispatch.com, where all of our blog posts and our podcasts are there for your listening pleasure. You can do a lot there. And on sportshistorynetwork.com, we have 20 other great podcasters that have some excellent sports history just waiting for you to be found and enjoyed. And I think they'll appreciate your patronage there. Till tomorrow, everybody, have a great gridiron day.
We're taking a peek over at the chains and the down marker. It's fourth and long. We're going to have to punt the ball and get on out of here, but we'll have another series tomorrow for your football history headlines, so be sure to tune in.
we invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast. PigskinDispatch.com is a proud affiliate of the Sports History Network, the headquarters of sports yesteryear.
Hey there, Sports History fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude, and I wanted to thank you for stopping by to listen to another episode here on the Sports History Network. Our podcasters are passionate about uncovering and sharing sports stories from yesteryear. And if you didn't know it already, we have over 30 shows across the network covering all sorts of sports history topics. In fact, here's a glimpse into one of our awesome podcasts here on the network.
Do you wish you knew more about the 100 seasons of the NFL? You're in luck because you found the Football History Dude podcast, where each episode is a journey back in time to learn about the rich history of the NFL. From the founding of the league in an auto showroom, all the way to what it is today, America's favorite sport and a behemoth of an industry. My name is Ernie Chapman. Football is my passion, and I want you to come along with me each week to explore the yesteryear of the gridiron. So hop on board my DeLorean, and let's get this baby up to 88 miles per hour.
How about that? I bet you're super hyped to go listen to that new podcast, right? Well, to learn about this show and all the other podcasts on the network, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Head over there today to find your next favorite sports history podcast.